name of the Lord. As Beatrice is doing that, I just want to say thank you for the fine, wonderful breakfast that we had to the men's ministry. Thank you for everybody that labored on that. We as a church sure do appreciate it. Yeah, I think it was a good time had by all. And we just are grateful for those opportunities that we have. So praise the name of the Lord. Thank you all for doing that. Thank you for that. Praise God. And then next Sunday, of course, is, my goodness, is going to be our Christmas service, right? That's going to be our Christmas service. And then I want you to begin to prepare on December the 29th. Will be our miracle prayer request and proclamation Sunday. That will be the last one for this year. The last one for this year. So right over here is the prayer table. We just got it over to the side because we got all these beautiful decorations out. But don't forget the prayer table. If you have a miracle prayer request, then go ahead and put that on there, okay? That, matter of fact, that's what my son called me about this morning. He said, Dad, would you put a miracle prayer request in there this morning? And so I said, yes, sir, we will do it. And amen. And so I want you to be doing that. You know, you can't have miracles from God if you don't ask for them. Right? You can't have the miracles from God if you don't ask for them. You know, our God is a miracle-working God. You know, and we need to get back to being a miracle-believing people. And so I pray with all my heart that the Lord is doing just that, that there is a great work of restoration that we are experiencing in the Lord, and the Lord is going to be pouring out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, all right, let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I was going to have a miracle healing and deliverance testimony that we were going to have this morning, as I had given you out the calendar for the month, but that has been changed momentarily, and we will have that testimony at another time. And right now, and one thing I've been highlighting through Christmas here, if you haven't noticed that, we've been talking about, you know, Jesus as our Savior. Jesus, what a glorious gift that Jesus is to us. What a wondrous thing, you know, that God had prepared in the Son of God and given Him as a sacrifice for our sins, and to be seated at the right hand of God the Father as the Lord of all, that you and I could come into the kingdom of God. Isn't that an incredible thing? Glory to God. And I pray that the Lord will just open our hearts and our minds to know what that means just more and more as we go along. A witness for Jesus is the title of this message. A witness for Jesus. You know, and we were best blessed last week as we heard the testimony of Fred. And he got up here, and how God miraculously intervened in Fred's life, you know, coming in and sitting on the back row and begin to cry. I won't tell his testimony. I'll let him do that. But praise God. You know, there was an intervention there of the hand of Almighty God. Beatrice told about Gladys. You know, Gladys would have been one of those, her sister, that I would have. I'll be honest with you. Don't we all have this tendency? Maybe it's just me. But, you know, after you prayed a little bit, prayed a little bit, prayed a little bit, prayed a little bit more, and on, and all your prayers, they just almost seem like for naught. You know, that nothing's happening. You know, there's an old trick of the evil one right there. He's wanting you to go by perception. That's what he's wanting you to do. He's wanting you and I to go by perception instead of by faith. And when we do that, then we are moved by that perception. And if we don't see what we think should be hope in the midst of all of that, then it kind of shuts us down. Sometimes we even quit praying. We just kind of give it to God. We don't know what else to do. But in deep down in our hearts, we're kind of discouraged, right? We're kind of on a discouragement. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come in each and every one of our lives, that we may be overcomers in that area right there, that we will not be moved by what we see or what we feel or what we think, but we'll be moved by faith in the promise of Almighty God, because He is faithful. Bless his holy name. And there was Gladys, and it's amazing, Gladys, my goodness. I didn't even think Gladys would. When I saw Gladys last, I thought, well, she won't be here this time next year. You know, from alcohol to AIDS, you just keep on naming it, skin and bones, nothing more than skin and bones and the like and everything. And that's been a lot of years ago. And my gosh, she's living for Jesus today. What a powerful thing. You know, God wants to use you and I in this message of the salvation of the Lord, because you and I in Jesus Christ have been called to be his witnesses. We are his witnesses. I want to read this. I'm going to start with Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to read in verse 4, and I'm going to come down. And it says in verse 4, "And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me." And what he's going to go into is the power of the Holy Spirit. That if they were to go out on their own and they were to seek to provide this message and preach this message and to move in people's lives, they would have been in total failure without the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing has changed. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to call upon the Lord. We need to ask. We need to open up our hearts. We need to, by faith, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It is for you. It is for me. It is for every single believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is an expectation that we bring before Almighty God. This is something that we believe for. This is something that we cry out for as well. And I'm just going to be honest with you. The temperature of a heart has a lot to do with being able to receive that power. You know, if we bring before God a ho-hum spirit and we got that mental attitude, you know, that's kind of like, well, Lord, you know, if the Lord wants to do it, then, you know, he can. He won't. He won't. And the reason he won't is because you're not hungry enough. You're not desperate enough for the power of God. You don't want it bad enough. If he just wants to bring it, well, that'll be all right with me, but I won't give it another thought. We do not receive the wonderful, glorious blessings of God in that spirit, in that heart, in that attitude. Many times what God is doing among a people in a church and also with us individually is that he's seeking to bring up the temperature. He's seeking to bring up the temperature, to let the fire of God to begin to come released. And in that fire of God, there is a dissatisfaction that begins to rise, an irritation. It's a godly irritation on the inside of the heart of the believer that says, I can't stand it anymore. I can't stand reading about one thing and experiencing another. I can't take it anymore. And I start crying out to God, Lord God, you got to come and do something. That's when people find the power of God. That's when the Spirit of the Lord begins to settle upon the hearts of the lives of an individual, on a church, and individuals, and the power of the Holy Spirit begins to open the doors that only God can open up. He begins to move on lives in the only way that God can move upon lives. He begins to rest hearts of men that they begin to become conscious of the fact of their spiritual condition, and then they're ripe for the harvest to come into the kingdom of God. Now, that's what God's plan. He's got a plan. He is moving, and he's moving through those that will let him move through them. Oh, how we want to be such a person. How we want to be such a church. Well, this is what he's talking about. And then he goes into verse 5, and he says, "For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Then he goes into verse 6 and says, "And so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom kingdom of Israel?" Here's verse 7. "And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. He's just saying, you do what I've called you to do. You do what I called you to do, and you do it to the day of eternity. You do it to the day that you step from this life till you step off into the kingdom of God in the eternal life. You obey my command. You be my servant. You do what I've called you to do. You leave everything else up to me. You know, that's the calling of the Lord. I think that, you know, if he'd given the answer, well, yeah, you know, he's coming soon. He's coming soon. They would have lounged back up there in that upper room, and they would have probably drank Coca-Colas and eat cheese crackers. Don't you think? That's what they would have done. They would have just drank Coca-Colas and eat cheese crackers, you know, because, oh, I mean, there's what's the reason, you know, oh, he's coming soon. You know, there was no heart of desperation, but there was, wasn't there? And they weren't eating cheese crackers and drinking Coca-Colas. They were crying out to God. Do you understand that? They were crying out to God. They were believing God for the fulfillment of the promise. They didn't know what day that it would be coming. They didn't know what hour it would be coming. They didn't know how it would be coming. They just knew that God had promised it, and they knew that they needed it, and they fixed themselves on the promise of God, and they began to cry out, and the Lord poured out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Verse 8 goes on and says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And because we know that word power, we know these verses very well, is the word dunamis. And I'm not going to get all into that, but it's the power of God. How we need so much the power of God. And we focus many times about the power, and praise God for all the gifts of the Spirit. And God's got many gifts of the Holy Spirit for each and every single one of you. That's how we usually think about the power. Or we talk about the fivefold ministry and the power of God in those callings and those offices and the like. And all that real, all that good, all that true. But there's so much more to the power of God. And the first order of business is to give you the victory that Jesus has won on your behalf. That you begin to lay hold of that victory by faith. You know, the way that you will find it, and the way that you will find victory over things that you are too weak to overcome, is by the power of God. And the power of God comes into your life not by discipline or active work or this or that, but it comes by believing upon the Lord. It's released in my life and in your life. Matter of fact, all of my labor and all of my discipline becomes a hindrance. It actually hinders the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I've committed to this and I've committed to that. There's a point for some of that. There's a point for some of that. But to those things that are like the character and the nature of Jesus, those things that are of a holy nature, those things that are the way of the Spirit, those things that put to death the way of the flesh, they all come by the power of God. They come by the power of the Holy Spirit. They come by faith because we believe God for them. I spoke this not long ago, and it's still released upon you. I said a powerhouse, a powerhouse for God, a powerhouse for God, a powerhouse of faith. Released upon you. That Spirit is moving upon you in the name of Jesus. But there's something that I want you to see that many times I think we overlook in that verse 8. And he says that you receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. And you shall be, now look at this, you shall be my witnesses. And then he goes, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. That we, the church, that have been given the commission, it's the commission for us to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to preach it among the world. We're not to stay in these four walls right here. I think the devil is perfectly happy that, you know, that we stay within our four walls right here and we just have us a good old time. We just enjoy ourselves wonderfully. But then out there, that we never fulfill in that commission, or make ourselves, and I'm going to use a word that is of such importance to you and me in this, and that is that we make ourselves available to God. I really pray that you will take that and write it down and pray about it and lift it up before the Lord, because that's when the Spirit of God begins to direct and He begins to move. When you begin to have that burden of God upon you, the heart and the mind of the Lord that He has for lost souls, that it's not something that just because we're Christian and we ought to and I need to do it, but it's not that, but it's because it's on our hearts. It's on our hearts. It burns on our hearts. And we make ourselves, we're conscious to make ourselves available to the Lord. And when we do that, that's when we'll find the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's when we'll find the mind of the Lord leading and guiding and giving attention to people in our lives and around us and even strangers that we normally would just be too busy to even take notice. Do you understand that that's just the way that the world lives? The world lives motivated by its own busyness. That's how the world lives. My stuff, as the old saying goes, my four and no more. You know, that's what the world does, and it's too busy to notice. We are not to live as the world lives. Do your stuff. Get your stuff done. Let some of your stuff sit there and rot because it's not important. The kingdom is what we are to be about, and we're to be the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. It goes on, it says this. Well, first of all, let me give that to you. Let me come down here, and I just want to give you that word witness is the Greek word martus, M-A-R-T-U-S. It's where we get the word martyr. It's martus, and it just means a witness, that we're a witness. You know, a witness is someone that has seen it. A witness is someone that can tell you about it because they witnessed it, didn't they? That's a witness. You know, that's what we're to be, that we are a witness because we walk in a reality. Let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life. Let me tell you how He saved me. Let me tell you how He cleansed me from my sins. Oh, let me tell you what the Lord's been telling me. Oh, let me tell you what the Lord has been showing me. It's not living simply off of 20 years ago. Praise God for the time and the testimony that we have when we came into the kingdom of God and we were born again by the Spirit of God. Glory to God. You know, tell your story. Tell your story. It's a living testimony of the power of Almighty God. It brings people to Jesus. It brings people to Jesus, being the witness of the Lord. He goes on and he tells us this because he goes on and he says right here that you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, Samaria, and even to into the remotest parts of the earth. We know this word right here. This comes from Matthew 28. 19 and 20, and we call it the Great Commission. It says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even, listen to this, even to the end of the age. Oh, this is the Great Commission as we know it. And you can see right here that you have been called to go. That's what it says. It's the first word is to go. So you have been called of the Lord. And the promise of God is that I will be with you. You know, sometimes it's just taking the time to love on people. But there is the gospel to be preached. Many times this is where Christians are just not equipped, or they just don't know. They've not done enough studying. Maybe they haven't been taught enough. We may have a school of evangelism here coming this winter. We may have a school of evangelism. It'll be a short one, but we may do just that so that we can be equipped for what we have been called for. But just simply a new believer, one that doesn't even hardly know the Bible. You don't have to know the Bible before you witness. That's a lie out of the pit of hell, okay? That you got to be God's answer man. You got to be able to answer all the questions. You will not open your mouth. You will be so intimidated that you're going to be asked something that you don't know the answer. Well, guess what? All you have to do is say, I don't know, but let me tell you what I do know. Oh, I know a Savior, right? You know, it's the simplicity of the message. It's the simplicity of sharing Jesus. It's the simplicity of loving people right where they're at. And when they see that genuine love, they stand up and they take notice, and that you begin to love on them. I pray that you're always got somebody in your sights. I pray that you always have got somebody in your sights that you are looking to pour out the love of God upon. I'm going to lift that up to you, that God will bless you with that, that that anointing be released upon you, even now in the name of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is going to give to you the someone that you will focus upon, that you'll have insight, that you begin to pour out your love and the work of God and the ministry and the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that be released upon you in the name of Jesus. I'll tell you, when you give your heart to serve the Lord in that way, and God wants to use, it's not just a matter of the church, it's not a matter of the preacher or anything else, it's the calling, right there. You've been called. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Right there it is. Go, therefore, and make disciples, as we call it, the Great Commission, and I will be with you always to the end of the age. Can you go with me over now to Romans chapter 10? In Romans chapter 10, you know, I want you to know that you have a calling of God upon your life that is beyond being saved. You got a calling upon your life that goes beyond being saved. It is not the normal Christian life to be saved and sit in a pew until the time of eternity. Matter of fact, I'm not sure you'll make it. Because I think that's more like a backslider than it is someone that is walking with the Lord. No, you're not called to get saved and then sit in the pew until the day of eternity. You're called to be the servant of the Lord. You've got a work to do that God has called you to do. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of God anoints you for it. He anoints you for it. Callings, missions, and divine destinies. I want to read this. I read it last week before Fred spoke, and just listen to it. I know I got you in Romans, but this is in Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even unto death. Now, that word testimony is martura. M-A-R-T-U-R-I-A. It's very much related to the word witness, which is martus. Now, this is martura, and it means to bear witness. It means to testify. To bore witness. Or here it is, to speak well or well spoken. You know, this is what it means. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You know, and this is as days get darker before the coming of the Lord, when times of testing that will surely come to each and every single one of us as we draw closer to the end of time and the end of the age, that we'll have the power of God to be able to live an overcoming life. The evil one will use the intimidation of fears to shut our mouths. He will use the intimidation of fears to shut our mouths. And I want to tell you, that's already happened. We already had it happen here in our nation and around the world, so that you will be afraid. You will be afraid. You'll be either afraid of the government or afraid of getting sick. I'll tell you what, did the devil play a good one? My goodness, did he not play a good one there? And I'm not saying the sickness wasn't real, but the fear was greater. But the fear was greater, you know. And this is how you control people. This is how the evil one controls people. This is how the evil one and the government will try to control the church in the last days. We need the strength of God, the power of God. We need to take as many souls with us. We need to take as many souls possible that we can take with us into the kingdom of God. We need to be, we must be the soul winner of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is your calling. You have a commission. God has told you to go. He's told you to go, well, Pastor, I just don't know what to do. Well, that's okay. Pray it through. Pray it through. Pray it through. And then you will. You know, it's always intimidating. It can always be. If you're afraid of rejection, then deal with it. If you're afraid of being made fun of, then deal with it. Because you will never talk. You will never stand up. You will never proclaim. Are you afraid to be ostracized? Then you will never want to step out with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not worthy. Put it away. Put it away. Quit letting let the devil use that against you anymore. Oh, I'm just not worthy. It's got nothing to do with it. Be the servant of the Lord. Do you know that there's a lot of people? I'm going to tell you something that may shock and surprise you. Did you know that a lot of times because people haven't come to the Lord is because nobody's asked them? Do you believe that? There's a lot of people who never come to the Lord because of one simple thing. They don't know how. They're all out there. Not everybody out there lost is walking in stubborn rebellion defiance. Some of them just don't know. You know, the evil one blinds the minds of the unbelieving, and they don't know. And they don't know what to do, and they don't know how to do it. And they need someone to tell them how to do it. And not only that, I'm going to give you three things right here that are of the utmost importance in winning souls. Number one is that you got to ask people to pray. It grieves my heart. We'll tell them everything about Jesus. Oh, we'll tell them about the saving grace of God. And then I'm going to use a worldly term, if you don't mind, because it gets the point across. You know, like a good salesman. A good salesman can tell everything about his product, but if he doesn't ever ask the buyer to buy it, then he's never going to sell any of them, is he? Right? He's got to be what they call in the sales world a closer, right? When you're giving witness and testimony to Jesus, always be closing. Always be closing. That is the utmost importance. Many times we bring them all the way up to the brink, and we think that they ought to know what to do. And they don't. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to pray. They don't know what to say. They don't know what the next step is. But you do. You know the next step. And so you need to always be closing. When it comes to leading people to Jesus, ask them to pray. If they say no, are you okay? You didn't get shot in nothing, did you? Right? You're okay, aren't you? You know, on many times, you know, as I feel led in the Lord, I close several times, okay? You know, I'll close once. You know, would you like to do that with me? You and I can pray right now. And, you know, the most natural answer is a hesitation, a no. And they don't even know why they're saying no. They don't even know why they're saying no. You know, a hesitation, a no. And then I go back over it again, kind of, only in a shorter way. And then I say, how about you and me right now? Let's just pray right now. I'll lead you into prayer. It's just a real simple little prayer. You don't want to pray with me? Half the time, the first time they said no, the second time they say yes. You can win souls. You can win souls. You're called. You're called of God. And God will give you the anointing to do that, to win souls. This is the great commission of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we've been called to. That was number one, is always be closing. Ask people to pray with you. Ask people to pray with you. Okay, number two, lay hands on people. Lay hands on people. I mean, I lay hands on people all the time. They don't even know what I'm doing. Are you saying? You know, I don't lay hands on you. I don't have to make an announcement. Are you with me there? You know, and I don't even wait for them. This is just me, but I don't wait for them to say no. I don't wait for them to give me an answer. You know, I just say, hey, I'm going to pray for you. Bang! There I got my hand on them already, and I am praying already. And I tell you what, the Spirit of God is moving upon them, and they don't even know what's happening to them. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. See, that's what the power of the Holy Spirit does. The power of the Holy Spirit gets that timidness out of your life. You've got a mission. You've got a calling. And the Spirit of God will burn that. If you seek Him, He'll burn the power upon you to where you don't care about all that other stuff. Oh, my buddies may laugh at me. Well, how about your buddies all going to hell? And you were around them all the time and you never said a word because you didn't want rejection, because you wanted acceptance. Pray it through. Pray it through. Ask for wisdom. God gives tact. Are you with me? He can cause you to be tactful, right? That's what's being led by the Spirit is about. Is being tactful for the moment, being able to speak according to the moment that you're there. You remember me telling you about one of the greatest soul winners I've ever known was George Hahn, was a man that had a great influence upon me. He never held any position in any church in any form or any fashion, but he did hold the office of evangelist. He never claimed to be anything, but I had never seen one man lead more people to the Lord in my entire life. And he did it one-on-one. That's the church. It's not the will of God. Oh, we got to bring them into church and they got to sit in the pew and then they got to respond, you know, to an altar call and then that's how people get saved. No, that's how a church dies. Because that's not in Scripture. No, it's the believer. It's us. Go out into the highways. I think there's something in Scripture about that, right? Go out in the highways and the byways. Is that what we're supposed to do? And bid them to come in? Is this not what we're to do or what we're not to be? We have a mission to fulfill. You pray and you ask God, Lord, show me who that you want to put in my crosshairs. Who, Lord God, do you want me to put into my crosshairs? And he may show it to you. You need to pray for them. You need to pray for them to come into the kingdom. You need to be praying for them and lifting them up before the Lord and believing that God's going to open the door and make the way. You may need to pray for the Lord to prepare you, But you can be anointed. You're called to be anointed. You will be anointed. You step out there and the anointing of the Holy Spirit will be there. And I'm sorry. I got to speak it the way that it is. It's not me telling them about my church. Tell them about our church because we have a unique church and we have a great church and a wonderful church. But it starts by telling them about Jesus. Are you with me there? Because Jesus saves. Jesus is the Savior. An organization is not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Everybody say, Jesus is the Savior. And there's power in that name. Power in that name. And that's when you begin to talk about Jesus and the salvation of Almighty God, that power becomes released. George and I were at Norton's, it was Norton's Hospital in Louisville going to see somebody, you know. And we got on an elevator, and I want you to picture the scene. We got on an elevator. I don't know how many floors there are at Norton's Hospital, but I bet you there's not over six. I don't even know if there's six. But anyway, we got on that elevator, and the next thing I know, there was a young lady that was sitting or standing in the back of the elevator. The next thing I know, there's George talking to her on that elevator. I just heard a few things. I heard him say that you appear to me that you're under a lot of heavy burden and grief and sadness. And all of a sudden, she burst out crying, you know, and everything. And then she says, yes, yes, it's my daughter. Yeah. And she was crying like crazy. And he said, well, yeah, let's give it to Jesus right now. Jesus will touch her, you know, but you need to give your heart to Jesus. You pray with me right now. And next thing I know, you know, she's saved by the time the elevator door opened. That's the Holy Spirit, and that is cutting to the chase. That is speaking the mind of God in the moment, in the situation of the need. And George was attuned to the Holy Spirit and was always looking to be led by the Holy Spirit to home in on someone in some way to tell them about Jesus. Now, according to the scriptures, what we find many times in the scriptures is that we plant the seed. Okay? We plant seeds. The seed of truth, the seed of salvation, the seed of life. We plant the seeds of the gospel, the word of God. We plant those seeds. And sometimes, you know, when we have interactions, that's what God's called us to do. That's what we're to do at that moment. We're planting that seed. Now, again, I'm always looking to be a closer. I'm always looking to pray that prayer. I'm always looking to lead them, okay, to the Lord Jesus. But sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Sometimes it's just simply that you plant seeds and you're done. Are you with me? You're done. Now, you may be able to come back and may be able to be a part of the harvest, but you may never be. And they may get saved that week. They may get saved next month. It may be 10 years down the road. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. What's important is that you do what you're called to do. What you're called to do. And so anyway, you may plant seeds. Seeds of life and seeds of truth. And then the second thing, as the Word of God talks about, is that we water. We water, right? You know, some we plant seeds, you know, then we water. So the seeds have been planted, and here we come along, you know, and what we speak to them in the Lord, we may be able to speak a lot, we may be able to speak hardly anything, but yet we did speak about the Lord. We spoke about the Lord and the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the faithfulness of Almighty God. However, being led by the Spirit of God, so you watered. And then there's other times, that you are able to reap the harvest. You're able to reap the harvest. Don't get stuck on the fact that, oh, you know, I never led anybody to the Lord. Oh, you know, I keep witnessing, but I don't ever lead anybody to the Lord. Let it go, okay? Sometimes selfish ambition and ego enters into that, if I may say. Okay? But it's got nothing to do with it. You know, so I'm going to plant the seeds. I'm going to water. And then glory to God when the Lord lets me be a part of the harvest, right? He lets me be a part of the harvest, you know, and I'm able to lead them to the Lord. And we rejoice in that. Oh, there's just nothing like it. I can tell you right now, I don't know everything about it, but I do know that part of the weaving of your crown is going to have something to do with the influence of the gospel that you've had on the lives and the souls of other people. Now, you understand that that's all part of rewards. Grace is free. Rewards are earned. We don't hear much about that in the church. We don't like to talk about it. Okay? But you need to know about it. And the Bible talks about rewards, a day of rewards. Rewards are things that you earn by your actions. Grace and salvation is freely given, and it can only be believed for and believed upon. But rewards is of a different nature. We'll talk about it sometime, maybe as we go forward here in the Lord. But I wanted you to hear that. I want you to see that you're called to be a preacher. I want you to see that you're called to be a preacher, okay? I wanted to hear a few gasps right there, but I didn't hear any. But Here we go. This is in Romans 10:9, and it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Nothing else matters. Did you hear that? No, that's it. Right there it is. That's all it is. The simplicity of the gospel message. The simplicity of the gospel message. Don't make it complicated. You don't have to lead somebody through hoops. You don't have to go through steps and numbers. Here's verse 10. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Here's verse 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. You know, there's some people that think that it's too late for themselves. They do. They just think that it's too late. It's something deep inside of them. You know, you're there to tell them different. You're there to tell them different. Then it goes on in verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all, look here, who call upon him. Isn't that glorious? Abounding in riches, goodness gracious, for those that call upon him. Then verse 13 says, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Oh, praise God. That is a promise, right? That's a promise. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Somebody says, well, I've done that. Nothing happened. Well, it's going to happen this time. Pray with me, right? You know, pray with me. That's what you do. That's your response that you give right there. And I want to say another thing right here. You have a sense of mission. Just some things that maybe may help you a little bit is number one, if you got to always be closing. I talked about that. Number two is lay hands on people. All right. Number three, all you need is to tell your story. Tell your story. Your story. How powerful is your story? Because you're not only, if you're walking with God, I got saved in church and I was 8 years old. Great. Wonderful. Where's Jesus now? Because you got a living testimony today. Because he's moving in your life. He's talking to you. He's making things known to you. You have a fellowship. You have a relationship. You know, you can talk about a lot of things. How good the Lord is to you. You know, and how you've experienced all his love. And, you know, and God is always moving. He didn't have to heal you in salvation of living the one of the most wicked lives under the sun to have a testimony. Your testimony is the Jesus that has come into your life. Right? And there's something about someone that talks about a living testimony. I mean, you know, when people hear that, my gosh, you know, that Jesus, he's kind of real to them, right? He's kind of real to them. Oh, you know, he's not just telling me churchy stuff. He's not just telling me about doctrine. You know, my goodness, he acts like he knows him. That's powerful. Oh, my goodness, that is so powerful. Other tidbits that I want to give, if you don't mind, I'll give them to you real quick here. And other tidbits, you know, is chasing rabbits. You got a sense of mission. When you're talking to someone about giving her, the evil one will do it every time. They'll plant a word or a seed. Well, tell me, you know, where did so-and-so's wife come from? You know, tell me, you know, if God loves everybody, then you're going to tell me those people over there in Africa, you know, what about them? What kind about them? This is the work of the evil one for you to chase rabbits and never complete the mission. That's what it's all about, is for you to chase rabbits. Don't go chasing rabbits, right? Stay on track. Stay on track. You got a mission. What is your mission? The objections, once they give their heart to Jesus, won't mean a thing to them. Do you understand that? They won't even have that question in their heart anymore. It'll just fade away. But it's the work of the evil one to cause you to get off track. You stay on track. You just simply say, I don't know. Now let me tell you what I do know. Praise God. And another one, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. Now, I want you to write some things down, okay, if you want them. I'm going to give this to you because I think I need to. You know, maybe we'll have an evangelism school, and we'll get much deeper into these type of things. But there's what used to be called and well-known is called the Romans Road to Salvation. The Romans Road to Salvation. I'm telling you right now, if you know these scriptures and you've got these scriptures in your heart, you don't have to know another thing about the Bible. Right? And you now are an adequate servant to show someone the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ and how to give their heart to Jesus. All right, number one is Romans 3, verse 23 and 24. And it talks about what we've all sinned and the gift of God's grace in salvation. That's Romans 3, 23, 24. Here's number two, Romans 6, verse 23, talks about the wages of sin is death. So we're all sinners that need salvation. Romans 6, 23. Here's number three. Number three, the Romans Road to Salvation. Number three is Romans 5, verse 8. Romans 5, it tells in verse 8, it says that Jesus paid the price for our sins. Jesus paid the price. I just got through reading to you in Romans 10, 9 and 10 and on, which speaks of yet you believe with your heart and that you confess with your mouth. Romans 10, this is number 4, verse 9 and 10. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. And then we have number 5. Number 5 is Romans 10, verse 13, and this is the promise to save. And we just got through reading about that. Oh, glory to God. You know, if you know these verses, and I'll throw one more in there for you, and that would be 1 John 1, 9, okay? You know, that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's it. You're now an adequate Bible scholar to lead someone biblically in salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to know anything else. You know those verses. You know them. You know how to find them in your Bible. You're adequate. Are you hearing me? You're adequate. You don't need to know anything else. You don't need to know anything else. You can walk in confidence of God using you and then believe him to empower you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm just going to close with this. And this is in that you're called to preach. And I said that a minute ago. All right, here we go. This is in verse 14. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? Well, that's kind of self-explanatory, isn't it? They can't call him if they don't believe. And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Yes, it's true. I had an old man in a nursing home. God put it on my heart to go talk to that man because I knew he was going to die real soon. And I told him about how to be saved. And you know what he said to me? He said, I've never heard that before. You know how many people go past churches and everything else and they assume what religion is? They assume what Christianity is? But they have never heard and they do not know and no one has explained it to them. And sometimes churches have not explained it to them. How? That you get saved, how you come into the kingdom of God. They don't know the answers. We assume the evil one also plants the seeds of deception to the believers, that we just assume that everybody out there that doesn't know Jesus has already made a decision and they don't want the Lord. We just assume they just don't want the Lord, you know, and because of the way they talk, or the way they live, or whatever it is. But this is not true. This is not true. And not only that, let me give you something of an encouraging nature. If you just bear with me for a minute. give you a little bit of an encouraging nature here. This is what it says in John 16, it's verse 7 and 8. It says, and I paraphrase some of it, the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you right now, God is not sitting on the throne with a ho-hum attitude about the souls of men, whose Jesus' blood, the only begotten Son of God, sent for our salvation, was shed on that cross. And it was not shed for nothing. It wasn't shed so only a few of them can come into the kingdom of God. It wasn't shed because God's like, ho-hum, who comes, and who doesn't come. You know, we don't walk in that place. I'm going to say something else. I'll talk about it more later. You be careful with that Calvinism. I'm telling you right now. You be careful with that Calvinism. I know that's the most popular thing out there. Is Calvinism, but you're going to have to also take Calvinistic doctrine to its fullest if you want to. That there's some destined to save and there's some destined for hell. And that is not the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not the truth. But the church has bitten into that lie. And because it's bitten into that lie, well, you know, those that'll get saved will just get saved. What did the Word of God say? If they've never heard, how are they going to ever believe? This is what the Word of God says. You better watch out. You better prove everything that you say you believe from those scriptures right there, not from some systematic doctrine. You know, everybody today thinks they got to get into a camp. Why do you have to get into a camp? I got to get into a camp, you know. I got to either be a Calvinist, you know. What am I? Well, I don't know. I've heard my friends talk about Calvinism. I guess I'll be a Calvinist. That's to the extent that most people even know what they're talking about, right? Or an Arminian, okay? Oh, most people are against Arminianism, so I don't guess I want to be one of those. I got a wonderful idea for you that the scriptures teach. Why don't you be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because I haven't found Calvinism yet. Be careful what camp you get into. Be careful camping. We don't camp, we walk. Are you with me? Be careful. I just want to tell you, I'll just say it, okay? I may say it more, but I'm going to tell you, when you got an open heart, because you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God will give you light and revelation like you've never seen. Okay, he'll give you light, revelation, spiritual understanding in the Word of the Lord. When you make the decision that you're in this camp or you're that camp, you are now blinded from that point forward of seeing anything else out of the Word that doesn't line up with the camp. Are you hearing me? Well, I don't know. I just don't see nothing out of the Word of God. It's like God don't speak to me. Maybe you've already decided what the Word says, and God can't. I'll come off my high horse now and put that aside. Oh, how he wants to make himself known to us. Let's be the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Disciples. That's what the Word talks about. And even there, go make disciples, right? Go make disciples. Isn't that what it said? You know, we're not making Baptists, right? We're not making Methodists, right? We're not making Catholics, right? What are we making? What are we making? We're making disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Beatrice, why don't you come on up here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I got a lot more to say about that, and we just may get into, we'll see what happens here, but we may get into a school of evangelism. I'm going to be honest with you. I might as well be, right? Okay. You know, I don't ever tell you what I think, right? Okay. We have a school of evangelism. Are you going to come? Or what are we going to have, 4 people there? If we have a school of evangelism, you going to be there? Are we going to go forward as a church, or is this going to be it Sunday morning? Are we going to fulfill our mission come 2025? Are we going to go forward? Are we going to come up higher? Are we just going to stay the same? Huh? It weighs in the balance. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? It is. It weighs in the balance. It weighs in the balance. It weighs in the balance. The destinies of God for this church, the destiny of God for you, weighs in the balance, that we accept and hear the call. We accept and hear the call. And we do, oh, the blessings of God will come in a great and a mighty way. Oh, hallelujah. Don't mean to hurt your feelings. Everybody say, I forgive the preacher. I'm going to pray some blessings real quick, if you don't mind. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm going to pray certain things here first. You agree with me. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we want to pray for a lost and a dying world. Lord God, we want to lift that up to you. And we want to ask you to come and prepare the hearts of men. We want to ask you, Father God, that you'll come right here in this community. Oh, Lord God. Lord, right now we're in our Jerusalem, Lord. And we're praying right now. Lord, pray that, Lord God, you give us greater vision. Oh, Lord God, not only for Lord, our Jerusalem, for Judea, oh Lord, our Judea, Lord, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Oh Lord, we receive that vision right now in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord God, Lord, not only for our own homes and our own families, which we pray for, but also, Lord God, for the lost and the dying souls that surround us every single day. And we pray right now for you to move upon us and equip us, oh Lord God. We pray that, Lord, that your hand would move upon us, that, Lord, that, Father, that you'd bring, Lord, souls into the kingdom of God. Lord, we pray for our city, and we pray for those that are lost and dying, those that are blind in heart, those that are stuck in darkness, Lord, those that are stuck in deception. Oh, Lord God, we pray, save those souls, oh Lord God. Pray, Lord God, that you'll save those souls. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I claim the souls of men in Jesus' name. We call them forth in the name of Jesus. We tell them now, be loose from your captivity in the name of Jesus. We call you now in the name of Jesus. Come in Jesus' name from the north. Be released. Come from the north. Come from the south. Come from the east. And come from the west. Be released from your captivity and your darkness and your blindness right now in the name of Jesus. Be loosed from the kingdom of darkness. Be loosed from the kingdom of darkness and come to your Savior. Come to your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We call you forth in the name of Jesus. Souls held by the kingdom of darkness, be loosed in Jesus' name. We declare victory right now. Minds being loosed and opened. Hearts being loosed and opened. Darkness be removed in the name of Jesus. Deception be lifted off of the hearts and the minds of those deceived in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
I'm going to be praying for the power of the Holy Spirit to descend upon us so that we can be out there to witness. I just wanted to talk about this. There was a young man who came and sat right up front here. I think his name was Braden Markwell. He was asked to come in. I mean, he followed Brother Eric. I think Brother Eric asked him as he was walking to come on to church. He did come to church. This is a young man. He goes to school. I think he told me he goes to Apollo High School. But he was able to come in and sat right up front here when church started. There are many people like Braden out there who don't know where to be. They don't know what to do. I know that he's coming in here. He's not going to be going. He will think about it all through, because he stayed here for the first song and left thereafter. So there are many of that. God's calling us to go and, you know, witness to many, invite many and all that. that they may come to the presence of God. Let's pray for that power. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that, Lord God, your power, that the power of the Holy Spirit descend upon us all, God. Lord, fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit that we may be able to witness out there. So, I thank you, Father God, because you sent your word. You sent your Holy Spirit to be our helper, to be our strength, to be our all in all. Father, we are asking you to use that. Let us recognize the power of the Holy Spirit in us so that we may go in out there to witness to the world that is lost, oh God. Let it be released in Jesus' mighty name. And I pray for the anointing of the Lord, anointing of being led by the Lord. Let that anointing of being led by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord, descend upon your servants, oh God Almighty. We are your servants, Lord God. We have been called by you to go and minister, to speak to the world, to disciple the world. Father God, let that anointing descend upon each one who is here today in the name of Jesus. And I also pray for the fire of God to consume our hearts for souls. Lord, let that fire consume each one here, yes, that we may go out there, that we may be excited to go out there to minister about the Lord, to bring many souls to Christ. For there are many souls that are out there, just like Braden, that was able to come in here. Father, help us that we may be strengthened. Let that power, let that fire descend in us. Let that anointing be released upon us tonight. And let the presence of the Holy Spirit fill our lives. And let us be charged to go out into the world and preach the gospel. And everybody says, amen.
Thank you. Kathy, would you all come? I've kept you longer. Thank you for